Greetings to each of you in Jesus' name. Count it a privilege to be here this morning. I had to wonder if I got the dates mixed up, if this actually was Mother's Day, as long as it went till I heard anything. So I was kind of, I actually checked my calendar on my phone just to be sure. Why do we have Mother's Day is a question that I wondered. I read an article yesterday explaining some of the tussle that went on over Mother's Day and the different people who tried to take credit for it and how we remember it and what it's used for and things like that. Why do we have Mother's Day and why is it once a year, not twice a year or every other year? I thought it, as I was thinking about preaching this morning, I was curious to know if any of you remember who preached last Sunday on Mother's Day. Do you remember who that was? And what they preached about, where they went. Do you remember any of that? Who preached Father's Day last year? You know? Well, I wondered if I would preach the same message that I preached last year, if any of you would know it. I was tempted to do that for two reasons. One is because I enjoyed preaching it last year. And as I looked at this here, I was like, well, you know, what else is there to say, you know? I mean, the Bible doesn't say a lot, and it's not like I said a lot, but I guess part of the reason is because I wanted to preach on something else, and yet I felt like I should probably preach on Mother's Day. So maybe that's a more honest confession. But anyway, it is interesting how leaky we are, and another reason that I believe possibly that it's good we have it once a year is because many of us forget to give our appreciation to our mothers. And if there wasn't a Mother's Day, would we give it as often as we should? And I think the answer is probably no. So do we do it out of some sort of obligation this morning, or is it because it's really in our hearts? I hope it's in our hearts to give our appreciation to our mothers. I will just simply ask, do you remember what character we looked at last year? Does anyone remember that in the message for Mother's Day? I saw a hand or so that thought they pointed that they thought I preached it. It's okay. We're not going to go. If you think of it, tell me after the service. If not, maybe next year, if it falls on me, maybe I will just preach that message again, since y'all don't remember it anyway. For a message this morning, you can turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Here we have, excuse me, the chapter that we all know as the Virtuous Woman. And I didn't hear any audible groans this morning as I said Proverbs 31. But we all know that this list about this virtuous woman is a daunting list. The way it sounds, like how energetic, the things that she got done, almost seems unreasonable. But it is fascinating to realize at the beginning of this chapter that this was written, it says, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And he goes on, first of all, to teach some values for the way that he should live, and then the kind of woman that he should seek. And so we could ask the question, who was this chapter written to? It was written to a young man, and so young men, this chapter is for you this morning. You thought we were going to have a message to the women, but this is a message to you. This is the kind of wife that you should seek. Yes, sisters, it is also to you. This is the kind of woman that you should be. And so there's a sense where it's both. What kind of a woman will you seek after, and what kind of woman will you marry? It will impact your life greatly. There's many a young man that married with carnal interest and lived with heartache the rest of his life for the choice that he made. the character of his wife was not what he was thinking about when he chose the girl that he pursued. Here in this chapter, in the Hebrew language, verses 10 through 31, it's actually, I understand that it's 22 verses in the Hebrew language, and it goes down the Hebrew alphabet, and it's kind of like a, I guess you could say, I should have looked up the word acrostic, not necessarily acrostic uses a word, but goes down through the Hebrew alphabet, all the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and uses a quality to go with it. Some of the qualities seem like they overlap. This morning we're going to look at, I believe it's 12 points, 12 different points, and first off they start with the virtues of a woman, and then the last two are, anyway, they all start with a virtuous woman. You'll find out at the end when we get there what they are. So anyway, I would like to start by reading Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. As we read down through these verses, some of these things, in fact, quite a few of these things, depict an era and a culture that was quite different than what we live in today. I don't know how many of you have been to the Landis home. We were just there with one of the school grades a couple weeks ago. And it was interesting to think about the way they lived even 100, 200 years ago. And the things that they had to do that we don't know anything of. How many of you spun wool this week? Or beat out, and I don't even know the process of doing the flax for your clothing. All the various things that they did that we don't know anything about. It talks about those things here. And there's so many things that automation, the lives that we live, are so much easier. I think they told us there that, you know, you had two sets of clothes. You had your work clothes, and then you had your dress clothes. And you didn't really have many clothes, and how hard it was to provide. And the extreme amount of energy that went into living, especially the work of a mother. And it talks about a lot of those things here. But today we are very blessed. In fact, we're blessed beyond measure. We don't even understand how blessed we are. And so in some ways, it might seem like it doesn't quite fit, but I believe that there are many things that we can learn. And as you look over the list, if this list looks long and you realize that you have quite a few shortcomings, if you think about all the things that they did, I think that it is fair for all of us to acknowledge that not everybody has the same gifts, and we certainly don't have all the gifts, whether we're on either side of the house. And there's a sense where this is could be an extreme list, but let's take what we can and let's grow where we can grow and not beat ourselves up for areas where we can't be everything to our husband or to our family or to the community, but let's simply do what we can. Verse 10 starts with, who can find a virtuous woman? How many of you have found a virtuous woman, men? I certainly have. And if you didn't take the time to raise your hand because you were writing your notes, I hope your wife won't take it personal. But who can find, or maybe you were sleeping, who can find a virtuous woman? A virtuous woman, point number one, a virtuous woman is a woman of strength and excellence. A virtuous woman is a woman of strength and excellence. It is fascinating to look at this word, virtuous. Virtuous as we read it here. Amplified says, a capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman. Who can find her? If you look it up in the Greek and the many other ways that it's translated, it is translated into words like army, wealth, virtue, valor, strength, able, army, band of men, soldiers, company, forces, a host, might, power, riches, strength, strong, substance, train, valor, virtuously, and war, and worthily. And it's interesting how many of the comparisons between the word virtuous we think of as the woman, but the other illustration given is a soldier, a man of strength. And you kind of wonder, well, why is there that comparison? And yet you realize that a virtuous woman in many ways and the strength that she has within her realm are paralleled with a soldier in his battle. And both of them take a lot of effort. Both of them take a lot of diligence. Second point is, a virtuous woman is rare and of extreme value. It compares her here to rubies. Her price is far above rubies. We have to wonder, is it fair to put a monetary value on a woman? And I think the answer is no. So why did he use the comparison of a ruby? And from what I understand, a ruby is very rare. It is hard to find. They are not plentiful. And so for that reason, she uses the illustration of a ruby. His mother wrote this and then he penned it. A virtuous woman is rare and of extreme value. Godly women are hard to find. The world is not just overflowing with an abundance of virtuous women. You look at the society around us and you realize that society needs more virtuous women. Thankfully this morning, I can talk to a group of what I believe are virtuous women, and I believe that a house like this can be well filled with virtuous women, and we don't have to say that it's 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 20 here this morning. But I believe that the church is full of virtuous women. I remember when I was a teenager, I had a cousin that was close to my age. And there was a man from the community that saw her and chased her and thought that he had found his virtuous woman because he couldn't find what he was looking for out in society. And he knew that her price was far above rubies. But unfortunately, she wasn't willing, and she had to tell him no numerous times, and eventually he took that and left. But I believe that even men in society can pick out a virtuous woman, and they see that beauty, they see that value there. One of the questions for us as men is, are we willing to be of the same character and to be of the same quality that we are worthy to marry a virtuous woman? You know, do we raise a standard for the sisters that we lower the bar for ourselves? I hope not. We see there is extreme value. I don't believe that there's any sort of monetary worth that we can place on a woman, even though that they do that from year to year. They say, well, if you tally up all the duties of a woman in a year, she would be paid. I don't know, I was thinking last year, as I had studied, it was somewhere around $140,000 if she got paid for all the duties that a mom typically does for her family. But too often we don't know what our moms do for us, and we don't value them enough until they're sick, until they can't do what they're doing, and then we complain. Maybe that doesn't happen at your house. Proverbs 18:22 says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth the favor of the Lord." And we are so blessed to have virtuous women among us, and especially for those of us who have found very virtuous women. Verse 11, we're just going to kind of drop down through and reread the verses and pull a few things out of them. As I mentioned, there are some of these that seem like they overlap. Just draw out the different points. 11 and 12, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Thirdly, we see a virtuous woman is committed to her husband. She's committed. It says that the heart of her husband safely trusts. Now, do you safely trust in something that can't be trusted? No. It's saying that there is a quality and integrity there that you can trust in. She will do him good and not evil. Talking of a complete confidence. A husband bears his heart and confides in her, knowing many details about his life. And he does that knowing that she will not betray his trust. And there is a confidence there that dare not be broken. Are we keeping the trust of marriage? Are we keeping the commitment? Also, you know, in the morning, we as men, we leave the house knowing full well that when we return, she'll be there. You know, unfortunately in society, many a man has left the house in the morning and come back only to find a note. "I got sick and tired of putting up with your garbage," or whatever it might say. "And here's a note just to let you know I'm gone. Don't come looking for me because I'm not coming back." You know, we read stories like that, and it's heartrending. We know a virtuous woman is committed. Not only that, but he trusts her with all of his possessions. I would be curious to know if any of you have checkbooks that are his and hers. Maybe that's more to blame on us as husbands. We have the business and the household, and in that sense, it's his and hers. Yes, in society, that's common. And there are prenuptial agreements that if this thing doesn't work out, I still have my money and you still have yours when it's all over. We don't believe in that. We believe that marriage makes us one. is there a fight between his wishes and hers? I may have shared this a few years ago, but I noticed in a couple that I knew at least just a little bit, that there was a realtor for sale sign popped up in the yard, and the house was for sale, and I was kind of shocked because I knew that they were homebodies, and I knew that they didn't travel a lot. But there was a for sale sign in the yard, and it was up for about a week, and then it sold, and I wondered, whatever happened? Are they going to move? Did they sell? It didn't say sale pending. It didn't say sold. But the difference that I did see is a new pickup in the driveway. And I thought that that must be telling about what the fight was all about. I believe that, I don't want to jump to conclusions, but I believe that there's evidence there that the man wanted a new pickup and she said no. And so he said, it's for sale. We're selling the house. We're splitting up. And then she backed down and he got his pickup. I never had the nerve to ask, but from all appearances, that's what happened, and he had won. I haven't seen anything like that going on here, so maybe I'm preaching to the choir, but, you know, do we have hearts that are one with the same interests and the same goals? Is there a difference between his and hers? Can we trust each other? And I believe that that trust needs to go both ways. She works to protect her husband's well-being and interests. We also see the phrase, so that he shall have no need of spoil. And I've pondered about that a little bit, and I never thought of it in quite this sense. But what drives men to rob others? And there's many different ways that men can rob others. But you know, if you send a man out hungry in the morning, he's going to have to find his lunch somewhere, right? How many men end up being robbers because the wife didn't feed him what he needed to be fed? It says that he shall have no need of spoil. Why? Because his needs are satisfied at home. When a man leaves his house hungry, and he's looking for something or someone to prey on, sometimes it's because of a woman who isn't virtuous. But we see here that this woman cared about her household, and she put her energies into providing. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands, making clothing. I mentioned that before. It took quite a bit of effort. A virtuous woman, fourthly, is industrious and hardworking. We see, first of all, that she is, it says here, seeketh wool. She's self-motivated. She's also not lazy. It doesn't say that, well, Pearl told the little story of the lady that's getting up early and getting everyone off, and it talks about that here as well in Proverbs later on about her burning the candle, staying up late and getting up early. She's not lazy. I believe that that's one of the signs of growing up. You know, my dad used to tell me that when we could see work and do it on our own, that it was a sign that we were maturing and growing up. And here's a woman who doesn't have to be pushed to get up and go. No, she sees the work and she gets up and gets it done willingly. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. We see here self-discipline, saying no to many other legitimate things to do the most important things. There are many things that you can legitimately fill your time up with. But are you doing the most important things, the needful things to provide for the family? Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. I believe here it's talking about gardening. Gardening was and still is an important means of providing for a family. There's another verse in Proverbs about the man who tills his land, he won't go hungry. And I believe that there's a truth of that for the sisters in gardening and in bringing in the food and canning it, providing for our own families. There's value in that. I know that it's perceived, at least from society around us, as just a Mennonite thing. And I don't want to make more of it than it is, but I believe that it is a scriptural thing for the sisters to put up food and provide. Verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands to the distaff. Number 5, a virtuous woman sacrificially dedicates her energies to serve the needs of her family. We see that the needs of her family comes first. You know, there's a lot of mothers who keep the outside of the cup clean and serve the outside needs, but on the inside, everything is left go. And things look good on the outside, but the inside, things are falling apart. No, we see here that a virtuous woman, first of all, sacrifices for her own family's needs. And she sacrifices and dedicates what she has to serve them first. She does whatever it takes, whether it is staying up late or getting up early. She puts a lot of energies into maintaining her family's needs. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. A virtuous woman gives to the needy. Gives to the needy. You know, it's pretty easy to read this and to say that, you know, if every woman and every man applied themselves like she does, that everybody would have plenty. So why do we need to give? It's pretty easy for me to say. You know, I worked hard for what I have, and I believe that it's a temptation for the sisters as well. I worked hard for this. It's mine. I don't have extra to share. We see that a virtuous woman has a bountiful hand, meaning she's working and she's doing a lot. And because she's doing a lot, she has plenty and has extra to share. That's a principle that the Bible teaches, that we don't just provide for our own, but we work hard enough and provide enough to share. And sometimes we can share in bigger ways than others, but we are called to share. A virtuous woman has the resources to share. And sometimes it's not just giving physically in a monetary or physical way, but maybe it's giving a listening ear or some other word of encouragement. A part of giving to the needs is, first of all, to see the needs. And I believe that a virtuous woman has a heart of compassion. That's something that mothers seem like they're gifted with, and that is the ability to see needs. So often we as men, we can walk right by a need. We have no idea it's there. And the woman can listen to the same words, and she can pick up on a need that we as men just don't have an ear for. To see the need and then to make the endeavor to make a difference. Verse 21 says that she is not afraid of snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. Seventhly, a virtuous woman is prepared for whatever the future might bring. The resources are there. A virtuous woman has foresight. She's making preparation. You know, when it's springtime, she's thinking of summer. When it's summertime, she's thinking of fall. And when it's fall, she's thinking of winter. And thank God, God made some people who can do that. Some of us don't think far enough ahead. We fly by the seat of our pants, so to speak, and just expect it to work out. It's not a virtuous woman if we're not thinking of in the summertime, making preparation for the winter. Says she doesn't fear for the snow. Why? Because they're clothed in scarlet. And Amplified tells us that She fears not the snow, for her family is doubly clothed. And the interpretation of scarlet is doubly clothed. There's not holes in the garments. You know, holes in the garments is no preparation for snow. It does take quite a bit of effort to keep a growing family in clothing, much less even the winter boots and mittens. And thank God for mothers who care for their families and put forth all the energy to keep them, our children so well clothed. Thank you, mothers, for doing that. I know that it takes a lot of effort, and it's frustrating because it seems like about the time you have them fit up, they outgrew it, and it's time to get another set, and it seems like the list is unending of things that need to be done to keep our children in clothes. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. I know this might seem a little redundant, but I simply had a virtuous woman builds her household, and basically emphasizing the words, verse 22, coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple, and then she makes fine linen and selleth it. And so we see that her household is rich because of her efforts. She's going further and beyond that which is required of her. Why? Because she wants them to have the best. She is seeking excellence within her realm of responsibility. Purple is the color of what the kings wore. And it was, in a sense, it illustrated lavish beyond that which is needed. And I believe that that's what a mother does for her family. She clothes them and gives them beyond what they need, beyond the bare basics. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. I'd just like to emphasize for number 9, a virtuous woman speaks with wisdom and kindness. You know, a woman has a lot of power in the power of her tongue. A woman or a wife has the power to make or break her husband with her tongue. I'm sure some of you know of men who are what they are because of their wives' strengths and their wives' encouragement, the influence that she wields over them. Or there's many other women who have used their power to set themselves against their husbands, to tear them down and to take away the support that they desperately need. And the men are nothing because, at least partly because, they are under constant criticism. I had to think of a man who I understand his mother told him that you never will amount to much of anything. And today he isn't much either. And I just wonder if she would encourage him and said, you know what, you're facing a difficult task and life is hard, but I want to encourage you to do your best and I think you can make it. And what kind of a man he would be. Not only do women have the power to make or break their husbands, they also have the power to make or break their children. You know, we can hold forth encouragement, a plan of action, seeds of confidence, which yields in their doing their best and applying the effort. And yes, they might fail, but then there's another encouraging word. There's another plan of action planted. And that's a total different path than you're never going to amount to anything. And nobody's ever going to think anything of you, and people don't like you, and, you know, there's just a whole different line of thinking that you can feed to your husband and also to your children. And I know that goes for all of us as parents. What are we feeding our children? Are we feeding them encouragement, or is it only criticism? Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Backing up for that, we see here that the impact of the mother in the home goes out to the community. And so, tenthly, I have a virtuous woman impacts her community. She influences her community. There's a witness, there's a testimony of godliness that can go forth because of her work. Verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. 11th, I have a virtuous woman is beautiful. Is beautiful. You know, there are various kinds and many different sources that people go to for beauty. And today in society, there is a lot of emphasis, as we know, on the external beauty. You know, the hair and the makeup, the eyes, the skin tone, a balanced weight, the clothing, the jewelry. You know, we can go down the whole list of things that society values. But I would like to ask you the question, what is the real source of beauty? Do we also believe that those five things or whatever they are they the most important source of beauty? Or is there a higher beauty? What was the value of the woman in this chapter? Was it all the things that she did, or what really made her valuable? You know, ultimately, it was the character of this woman that made her such a blessing. And I believe that in each of these, you could talk about a character quality that led her to discipline and serve, because she had a servant's heart and a heart of love, a heart of respect. Do we have the same value in our homes and in our families? Are we emphasizing clothes that make us look good, or are we rather training the character and quality of the heart that really makes a person beautiful? Are we emphasizing some gift, some extraordinary thing? Seems like with the rise of videos and the internet, there's just an unending amount of pressure put on people to be something extraordinary, to stand out. And even in society, what drives people to have purple hair and all the crazy things that they do? It's an emphasis on something that is not biblical. It is not the character that God would have us to build. What is the real beauty of a woman? It's the beauty of her character and her godliness. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. A virtuous woman is beautiful. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Number 12, a virtuous woman is worthy of honor. We see here at least three different things that praise her. One is her children. As she pours out the energy into her, they grow up and they bless her and praise her. Her husband does the same, and also her own works praise her. Verse 31, a job well done speaks of the individual that put their energy into it. Proverbs 12 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. A virtuous woman is worthy of honor. So we could ask the question, how should we honor our mothers? And I'm going to let you define that in what you do for your mother today and in the coming weeks and days, in the coming year. How should we honor our mothers? Do it. Let's not just talk about it, but let's do it. I'd like to read a poem, Mothers the World Needs Today. Mothers with courage, mothers who pray, these are the kind the world needs today. Mothers who think, who study and plan, mothers who laugh as much as they can. Having the gift that is better than money, the habit of seeing that some things are funny. Mother whose faith never wavers or falters. Mothers whose spirit the world never alters. Loving the right and scorning the wrong, facing the problems of life with a song. Mothers whose bravery transcends their fears, winning the battle with patience and tears. Never submitting to weakness or sin, storming heaven's gates till the children are in. Mothers heroic, not guilty of whining, hands graced with service and faces with shining. Mothers of purity, virtue, and faith, steadfast in life and triumphant in death, looking beyond the dark pathway of sorrow, seeking a home in God's joyous tomorrow, leading the children, pointing the way. These are the mothers the world needs today. God bless you, sisters, as you endeavor to be that virtuous woman and a godly mother. After prayer, I'd like to sing the song. What is the title there, Cliff? Faith of Our Mothers. I printed them out. Maybe don't have enough. If you can share, Cliff and Dale, there you can pass them out. We'll sing that as a song after we pray. Let's pray.